Welcome to Naturally Nourished, a food is medicine podcast that delivers cutting-edge information and solutions for optimal health. Allie Miller is a nutrition expert sought out by the media and America's top medical institutes for her revolutionary functional medicine interventions. From disease treatment to prevention, every episode will empower you with ways to put yourself back in control of your health. Please note, the topics discussed are for educational purposes only and should not be used in place of any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from a licensed health professional. Now welcome your host, Allie Miller, integrative dietitian and owner of Naturally Nourished, and her vice president, integrative dietitian Carly Vogler.
Hey everyone, this is Carly and I'm here as always with Allie.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Today we are going to be talking all about detox, which we have broken out into a two-part mini-series in order to fit in all of the information because there is a lot. So buckle up. Before we get started, I just wanted to touch base with Allie. We haven't really talked much about it, but Allie is how many weeks?
26 weeks pregnant. Yeah.
And has so much information to share about things that have been going well, things that have surprised her. So I just kind of want to take a moment and say, what's been your biggest aha lately or interesting tidbit for our listeners?
So I'm just entering into my third trimester. Well, the first thing that I didn't realize was that the gestation period is 40 weeks. You know, everyone talks about 9 months, but that would be more like 36. So
that's a lot.
It's 10 months. And I feel like, I don't know why everyone lies and calls it 9 months, you know?
That's not right.
I don't know. So that was kind of a humbling experience, especially considering myself to be a quite intelligent individual and have a medical background. But anyway, so entering into my third trimester here, I had to sit to look for risk for gestational diabetes. And being a certified diabetes educator, I've always nerded out with a glucometer, which is one of those finger-sticking glucose monitors, and have done two-week assessments and seen how my body looks when I have a low glycemic diet, a very managed diet, when I'm exercising, when I'm ketogenic, just to kind of get some scatter plots of data. And so typically in your early third trimester, about sometime between week 26 to 28, your OBGYN will have you do an oral glucose tolerance test. And the way that this works is they have you drink a solution, and the solution is called Glucola. You know, anything with the word cola probably is not a whole food.
Sure.
And so it's this really high glycemic index liquid, and it has a lot of preservatives, a lot of artificial colorants, some definitely strong potential of being genetically modified ingredients like corn syrup and things like that. And so I opted out for a couple reasons. One was I didn't want the toxins to be in my system. I've been really focused on clean eating throughout my entire pregnancy because I'm very mindful of the placenta barrier and what things cross that placental barrier. And during your gestation period, it's really important to be conscious of what you're putting in your body because you're truly building a human being based on that. So one element that I was not wanting to participate with was based on the ingredients and the toxins. And then the other piece was, be that I have a pretty low glycemic diet as is, I generally am consuming below what's recommended for pregnant women by the Academy, or standard recommendations for pregnancy is usually 150 grams of carbohydrates a day. And I'm typically getting about 120, maybe 90 to 120, which is much higher than my typical norm, not pregnant, where I'm getting 65 to 75, you know, maybe 90 on the weekends every now and then. So now I'm getting about 90 to 120. And some days I think, and especially a work day that's busy, I tend to go to higher fat snacks like olives or cheese cubes. And I think some of those days I might even still be about 75 to 90. And I have not had episodes of hypoglycemia or any issues, and the baby's rate of growth is perfect. So I've been really satisfied at that state of carbohydrate intake. And my concern was when you do a highly refined, high glycemic beverage like that, for those of us that aren't on high demand of insulin because we're not spiking our blood sugar levels, it can cause sometimes a false positive or a false spike. So I didn't want to deal with A, consuming the beverage to begin with, and secondarily, I wanted accurate data of if I was truly at risk for gestational diabetes. So I opted out with my midwife, and I think we will most definitely do an entire episode prior to my birthing story on working with a midwife versus an OBGYN and natural birth and all of that for sure. But my midwife allowed me to opt out of the oral glucose tolerance test, and I did 10 glucometer reads instead. So I actually did consume 50 grams of carbs in the form of juice, but it was an organic prune juice. So that also helped with combating constipation from high iron intake and things like that. Gave me antioxidants and polyphenols. I felt much more sound about doing a refined sugar, but from a whole food form versus a processed ingredient. And then I did some fasting reads and some reads after typical meals, and I passed the test. So I'm happily not gestational diabetic, and I'm cruising onward and upward and feeling pretty good.
That's awesome. I love that because I never had a child yet. So I had no idea you can say no to those kinds of things. I think that is such great information because, yeah, when you think about it, it's a bright yellow, nasty liquid.
Right.
And who wants, you've been so vigilant about eating local CSA organic food, and then you're going to go chug this syrup.
Right.
Which, like you said, could have false positives.
Right. And I had a baby shower this past weekend, and I did do a gluten-free chocolate cake. I had a slice of that, and I had my mom specifically, I said, I don't want any colorants in the frosting. And so I guess she got a little bit of crap from the baker because they wanted to do like colored flowers or so they kept it all white. And then she also emailed, they did like a raspberry coulier filling, and she emailed and got a reply that they didn't use any corn syrup in there. And so it was good to know. And I think it's right. It's putting yourself in that driver's seat. And with today's topic of detox, I think it's a great way of transitioning into, regardless of where you're starting in your journey of being naturally nourished, you always want to both be on the offense and the defense. And so I think detox is kind of a defense restart for your system, but it also helps you recommit to clean eating and realize where you can be empowered and in control of all of the decisions of what we put in our body, for sure.
Yeah, I love that, what you said. You could be in any stage because you don't have to feel guilty about past decisions or exposure to things that you might not have been in control of, toxins in the environment and things like that. So it's great. It's a great reboot. So let's start off by talking about, right on par, why we need to detox. What are the things that we're exposed to? Why do people even care about detox?
So, I mean, big picture, some of the shock and awe statistics are that there are over 6 billion pounds of toxins released into our environment every year. And this is actually in excess to our food toxins. So there are also over 10,000 chemicals in our foods that are approved to be GRAS, which stands for generally recognized as safe. And these food chemicals, a lot of them are banned in the European Union and other countries of the like. If you haven't noticed some of our Facebook posts, for instance, we have one that I posted maybe a year and a half ago by now. And it was a Nutri-Grain bar in the States and then a Nutri-Grain bar in the UK. And the Nutri-Grain bar in the UK uses like beet powder to make the red strawberry, and the one in the US uses red 40. And it's a variance of, I think, something in the 30 plus ingredients in the US and something like 12 in the UK. So there are chemicals in our environment that are dumped into our water system and our air. And then also there's a remarkable amount of food chemicals. And a lot of times we are, even without knowing, eating quote unquote health products that are really, pardon my French, but chemical shitstorms. You know, these aren't real foods. And so that's a huge another source of toxins for our body. And then there's the cosmetics, the things that we put on our skin. Remember, our skin is the largest organ and is an orifice. So it's absorbing on a constant basis and breathing. And the lotions we use, our nail polish, our facial cleansers, our shampoo, all of these types of cosmetic items also can drive toxicity. And you know, that's not even the daily makeup we're applying and the nail polish and things like that as well. So toxins are all around us, and dry cleaning chemicals and mattresses.
Oh,
and
yes.
The list could go
terrifying.
On. For sure, for sure.
I love that example of the Nutri-Green bar. I just had a client who lived in London for a year. I was living in Houston and came back, and she had all of these digestive issues. Not in London. She was great in London. I'm like, I'm pretty sure your body went through a detox when you were over there. And now you're more sensitive to that stuff.
Like,
which is upsetting, but it shows you where were you before. And your body is just so adaptable that it was just used to processing through those toxins. And you were just at a state where you weren't able to tell that you were toxic because your body was just used to dealing with it.
Yes. And so, you know, our liver and our kidneys are the primary detoxifying organs, and they're often very overwhelmed because they're dealing with all of these different toxic compounds. So from the diet, from the environment, from our cosmetics, from our mattresses, from our paint, you name it. And unfortunately, the liver and kidneys, in order to detoxify, need an abundance of particular nutrients that we'll get into in a moment. But in the American lifestyle, we tend to have an overburden of toxicity, yet a malnourishment in driving the excretion processes. And so we tend to get an overload or toxic burden. And this can drive fat storage in our body. In fact, a lot of the toxins that we're going to be focusing on and the detox process is looking at those petrol-derived or fat-soluble compounds. So especially when we're talking about our highly refined soybean oils and our genetically modified food products that come from the fat forms, those are going to be higher risk, or the fat-soluble colorants, which are petroleum-derived, or the petrochemicals from gasoline and things like that. These are all the things that the body really stores and holds on to. And over time, it can lead from symptoms and conditions into even chronic disease states.
So a lot of the stuff in the beginning of this podcast is a little scary. It does get better. It gets more empowering. We'll tell you what to do. And this will be really informational, so you know how to dive in. But
Can we, before we go into symptoms and diseases, just get a little scarier?
Yes. drop the hammer.
I have like my three little scenarios I love to talk about when I lecture. I forgot. So one of them is that the umbilical cord blood of a newborn typically has 200 the average of chemicals found in an umbilical cord of a newborn is 200 industrialized chemicals. So this is a infant that has not been exposed to the exome yet, and it's all passed, again, through that mother. Another kind of shock and awe statistic is that the Environmental Protection Agency did a tissue survey of adipose tissue, which is fat. Adipose is a fancy word for fat. And they did cross-sectional tissues where they removed fat cells from 33,000 U.S. residents, and 100% of the tissue samples were positive for having benzenes. And benzenes are a class 1 carcinogenic compound. So class 1 is deemed by something that is 100% proven to cause cancer. So 33,000 people, 100% of them had this chemical in the body that drives cancer and tumor activity, which to me is a pretty strong shock and awe.
That's really scary.
And then my last one is that I think it was the EPA as well did a study on the Andes Mountains, and they tested some of the top snow. And this was in some time of the early 2000s, maybe 2003 or 2005 or something like that. And they found in the top snow PCBs, which have been banned since the 1970s. So, you know, when we talk about greenhouse gases and we talk about how the environmental ozone is being broken through different chemicals, especially some of those gases, that's a prime example of the precipitation coming down fresh is actually still polluted, even though we've banned use of those chemicals for an extended period of time, and even in a very remote area, like on top of the Andes Mountains. Now you guys are really scared.
It's officially very scary, but at the same time, it's great motivation. I've been thinking about it. I'm like, you know, it's been a while since I've done one. This is just going to reemphasize why we should do this. We usually say quarterly, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I know you're skipping a quarter because you can't detox a baby, but...
No, I'm skipping three quarters, girl.
Oh, wow,
months.
It's not just one quarter. This is almost a full year. Oh, I just can't wait till I have to go through it. Okay, so now that we know why we should detox, let's just talk a little bit about the process in the body, how your body can naturally detox, what organs are involved.
Sure. So there's two phases of detoxification in the body. And again, the biggest priority is to look at the fat-soluble toxins because the body is actually pretty effective at detoxing the water-soluble. So you're going to urinate out a lot of the things like alcohol and things like that. And the liver is going to be pretty effective. Of course, alcoholism will tax the liver, you know. So we know that water-soluble toxins on excess can drive dysfunction, but it's usually the fat-soluble toxins that we're looking at really getting at. So we want to convert fat-soluble toxins into water solubility. We want to support the activation in the liver with antioxidant compounds, driving oxygenation and enzyme expression. And then the actual release happens from the liver creating bile. Bile is a conjugator or basically a trapper. And so just like soap removes dirt, that bile helps to sequester and trap and pull things that have been broken down. And then also the kidneys help to filter the blood into urine. So the kidneys work as a blood cleanser secondarily after that bile helps to trap and pass some to the stool. So we detox through our stool or our bowel movements. We also detox through the urine. And then our third kind of final expression is through the sweat. But all of that's driven by the liver and the kidneys as the primary organs of focus.
Okay. And I want to jump into the two phases that you often talk about. But before that, I want you to mention some of the disease states or expressions that happen when someone is toxic. What are some signs and symptoms or diagnoses that could be probably possibly rooted in toxicity?
Yeah. So, you know, I think today we'll give you a lot of solutions of how you can start. And I think that, like we said, if we're encouraging doing this quarterly, as you're listening, you know, this is a list to really tone into and figure out, is this me? And I'll list a couple of things. I won't be completely comprehensive, but we can see toxicity or excess toxins in the body driving things like depression, chronic fatigue syndrome, skin conditions, eczema, psoriasis, weight gain, and inflammatory disorders, joint pain, headaches or migraines, allergies, GI distress, so either constipation or loose stools or cramping or bloating, and then an overall kind of irritability or dysfunction in mood regulation. And then, you know, beyond, as well as hair thinning, loss of hair, nail issues and things like that. Beyond some of the symptoms, there's also chronic disease states. So some of the big ones we think are in the neuropathy and neurological type of conditions. So things like multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, rheumatoid arthritis, and autoimmune diseases like lupus included within that and other autoimmune conditions. We can see ADHD and autism tied to toxic overload and toxic burden in the body, which is why we're looking at, like, for instance, thimerosal, the preservative in a lot of vaccines. And now, even regardless of the take on vaccination with children, all children's vaccines are now thimerosal-free. And so, you know, we're recognizing that certain toxins can drive these chronic conditions. Cancer is most definitely a strong correlation, as I mentioned before, with the benzenes and the fat cells, and also type 2 diabetes. Diabetes is really strongly correlated because a lot of toxins are what are called endocrine disruptors. And so your endocrine system is your hormonal system. And when you have high amounts of endocrine disruptors, you're going to see more insulin resistance, and that's going to drive higher glycemic response, and long-term will drive diabetic issues. And we actually see in farming communities where they're exposed to more petrochemicals and different fertilizers and also insecticide chemicals, that they tend to be higher prone towards a lot of these chronic illness because they're getting that groundwater, that runoff, and their systems are just absolutely overburdened.
Okay. So with that being said, we'll get into part two. We'll talk about your Reset, Restore, Renew protocol that you've set up.
Yes.
But one main pillar of it is that, you know, there's phase one and then phase two of detoxification.
Yes.
So let's start with talking about phase one and what happens to the body.
Yes. So I think that this is the most important part to distinguish a functional medicine supportive detox versus something like a juice cleanse. Because as I mentioned before, it's not just about what you're removing from the body, but it's also about providing an abundance of focus to support this phase one and phase two detox process. And these phases have been shown in white papers and medical journals. They are metabolic processes of the liver and the kidneys. So this is something that's really not as controversial as it might sound when you hear all over the news, like juice cleanse, fad, this and that. And so the first phase is on biochemical reactions that include things like reduction, hydrolysis, oxidation, and hydration responses. And basically all of those fancy words are helping to activate a toxin that was once dormant or kind of stored away in the fat cells and trying to drive water solubility so it can be safely excreted. So phase one is all about activating something that was dormant, and actually in the phase of that activation can create a more reactive oxygen species. And so when we talk about why antioxidants are important, we often hear about free radicals and things like that. And so in this phase one of detox, you're actually creating free radicals in the body. But you need to release before you can get it out. And so you need to have this breakdown activation in phase one. And that occurs in both the liver, liver primarily, and starts to occur partially supported by the kidneys.
And this phase one, when people do, you had mentioned juice fast, this is what a juice fast is doing, right?
Yes. So, you know, anytime you're hypocaloric or you're low calorie, which would happen in a juice fast or a fast in general or calorie restriction, your body's going to go into a catabolic state. So catabolism is a state of breakdown in the body. You know, a juice fast has antioxidants, so that's slightly protective over the reactive oxygen species. But the issue with a juice fast specifically, one of my issues with a juice fast is that it's lacking protein and fiber. And so when you're in a mode of catabolism, you don't store toxins in your muscle. And so if your body is starving for nourishment, it's going to go to the muscle as the primary fuel source because the muscle actually has amino acids, it has building blocks, it has nutrients, and the fat has toxins. And so the body as a survival beast, per se, is going to go for the source of nourishment if it's starving versus the toxins. So, you know, with a medical supported detox, you always want to consume a minimum of 60 to 80 grams of protein. So that when you are in the breakdown mode, you're in muscle reserve and your body is driving into its fat stores to do the breakdown process. And then it's given, as you know, as we also mentioned, those supportive nutrients. And with those supportive nutrients, it needs fiber because we talked about how the bowel does part of the detox as well. So the juice cleanse is also missing that fiber, which is concerning as well.
Okay, so we have the activation of all of these toxins, and that's why phase two is so important. Also, phase two is absent in one of these juice cleanses. So this is the other really important component. Let's talk about phase two.
So phase two is the excretion process. And this is primarily going on in the kidneys, but also the liver. So they do hand off to one another. So the liver does aid in the processes of conjugation. And conjugation is really a fancy word for adding something on. When you're conjugating in a detox, you're typically using a sulfur donor. So there's processes like sulfation, gluconeoration, methylation. So you're also providing methyl donors. What these do is these add on to these activated species and create a safe encapsulated molecule that can be driven to the kidneys to be actively released through the urine. So again, phase one, phase two, it's an activation followed by an excretion. That's the easiest way to say it. And as Carly mentioned, yes, in a juice cleanse, when we're talking about the foods that provide phase two support, we're talking about things like alliums, which are in your onion family. So this is things like your shallots, your garlic, your leeks. We're talking about, and then onions, of course, themselves. And I've yet to see a juice that uses any of those. Nope. We have an avocado detox soup that incorporates two of those foods. We incorporate garlic and red onion in that, and that's because it's a detox supportive soup. We also are talking about things that are sulfurous. So sulfur-containing foods are going to be things like mushrooms, like cruciferous vegetables like your cabbage, your Brussels sprouts, your cauliflower, your broccoli, your kale. And also juices typically don't feature many of those. Definitely kale is a star of the show, so you get your kale in, but you're not going to be getting mushroom juice and you're not going to be getting typically like a cauliflower juice or something like that. It would kind of smell like rotten eggs.
Mm-hmm, it doesn't sound so good.
And yeah, those vegetables are typically more palatable when they're roasted. And so, you know, we like to use cauliflower puree. We just put an awesome recipe on the blog with a shrimp and grits, quote unquote, and it's a cauliflower base in there. And so we encourage with our detox getting an abundance of these phase two nutrients, because what you don't want to do is drive activation without supporting the excretion.
And that's actually my next question. If someone is overactivating phase one, what are some of the risks? What is the damage that we're talking about?
Yeah, so their body can actually be overburdened then with those reactive oxygen species or free radicals. And so, you know, they could have a higher histamine reaction or a flare in an autoimmune disease. They also can overburden their liver and kidneys and start to see damage. They can deal with chronic fatigue. And it's important to understand that the toxic exposure can actually hit them at the level of their DNA and RNA. And so that can actually influence their genetic expression. And this is where we've seen also in up-to-date research with cancer care that many people that have cancer have increased phase one enzyme activity. So they're activating toxins in their body, but reduced phase two enzyme activity. So they're not getting that excretion. So these little free radicals are dancing around the body doing damage, and the body's protecting itself, unfortunately, with driving tumorigenic activity. And we overlook the abnormal growths in the body because the immune system is so overburdened with these reactive species.
So beyond food that you had just mentioned, like the alliums and, you know, sulfur-containing vegetables, mm-hmm. you say that supplementation is really important to make this program that we're going to be talking about soon a true medical detox versus yes. just clean eating. But why do we need the supplements, and what are they?
So supplementation is extremely important because, again, you need an abundance. And so we want you, the way that we work our detox is it works in a bell curve. So we are going to be removing all of your primary drivers of toxic compounds. So it's going to be free of refined sugars. It's going to be free of course, any genetically modified organisms, any food-like substances. It's free of gluten and pro-inflammatory compounds. And furthermore, it's going to be focusing on specific abundance. So it's going to be high in the cruciferous supportive compounds, high in antioxidants from your berries, providing legumes as beans as a primary fiber to aid in the sequestering and the bile flow. So there's a strategic bell curve that we follow with the diet. But with that being said, in order to truly detoxify, and when we're tracking especially a patient for a heavy metal cleanse or hair toxicity and things like that, heavy metal cleanse, they might need also even some chelation therapy. But beyond that, we need an abundance of the nutrients that drive and upregulate these excretion pathways. And so we developed a supplement pack in our detox that actually has three different products within each daily packet. And so each pack is actually going to be heavily weighed with phase two support. So it's these little daily packs that on days one through four of your detox, you're doing one pack twice a day. And then on days five through eight, you're doing three packs a day. And then back on days 9 and 10, you're doing one twice a day. And so again, you're revving up with both the restricted diet, both the therapeutic emphasis of the foods on days five through eight, but also getting more supplemental support. And our detox packs are called Reset, Restore, Renew Detox Packs. And there's three blends. There's an antioxidant blend. So the antioxidant blend is specifically there to aid to support the free radical exposure. So during a detox, again, there's higher free radical species. So we want to give your body that antioxidant blend that's going to have things like turmeric extract and green tea extract, alpha-lipoic acid, which helps the blood-brain barrier crossing of toxins. Also is going to have vitamin C, E, biotin, zinc, selenium, manganese, and other compounds that are supportive to protect against that free radical overload. It's also going to have phase one support. And the phase one support is going to be specific to liver, gallbladder, and kidney drivers. So this includes things like bile. This includes things like bitters from dandelion root, artichoke, beet powder. It's also going to have taurine and methionine and inositol and lecithin. These things help to emulsify and aid in that activation process to make it water-soluble toxicity. And then the phase two is the third component within our packs. And the phase two, we actually give you three capsules of. So it's one capsule of the antioxidant blend, one capsule of the phase one, and three capsules of the phase two, because we want you to get that higher focus support driving the excretion. And the phase two is actually all amino acids or protein-derived compounds that drive that excretion pathway. So it's things like MSM and glutamine and NAC, which is N-acetylcysteine, glutathione, which is the granddaddy antioxidant and really scavenges free radicals and drives that excretion. And then even things like calcium D-glucarate, which helps to sequester excess estrogen in the body, which we know the adipose cells are the fat cells in the body from last episode on the five hormones that make you fat, that those estrogen-dominant compounds can also drive not only fat storage, but toxic expression in the body.
I love these supplements. And for all of those of you wondering, you can buy them on alliemillerrd.com/Allie's shop, or you can just go to alliemillerrd.com and click on the shop button, and they're at the bottom called the Reset, Restore, Renew Detox Packs, which leads me to my next question. And we get this a lot. For all those people who don't cook a lot, can someone just take the supplements and get a detox, or do they really need to be eating exactly as the plan suggests?
Well, I don't recommend, you know, in that way you're kind of running up a downhill escalator. So at least you're not just continually running the escalator down into the ground. But the detox packs can be used intermittently first off. So if you are having a weekend in New Orleans and you're having more fried food or more alcohol, it would definitely be supportive to take a pack before bed and maybe another one in the morning on a weekend out or a girl's weekend for a bachelorette or something like that. So yes, you can use the packs intermittently, and yes, they do defend and support your body. But to get a true cleanse experience, we do recommend taking the packs for a specific 10-day period. And like I said, following that bell curve, which is in the protocol that you would download with the detox DVD. And it is optimally supported with diet. Now, I think we'll talk about our diet more in the next episode. So we really want you guys to tune into that and what our program looks like, the Reset, Restore, Renew Detox itself. But with that being said, eating a paleo-like diet and a clean diet and focusing on local and antioxidant-rich and even just focusing on getting your cruciferous vegetables up and taking these packs would likely be much closer. You know, so I think there's always a good, better, best approach.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. And then before we wrap up, Allie, just tell us who should do this detox. Is there anyone that should not do it? How often? Just some suggestions for that.
So the only people that should not do it are literally pregnant people, honestly, because unfortunately the reality is your body is passing so much onto the placenta that you would be passing a higher amount of your toxic burden onto the placenta during a detox. So you do not want to upregulate the release or the excretion pathways during pregnancy. Now, if we're talking about infertility, this would be a great thing to do to prepare the body for pregnancy, because we do know that estrogen dominance can often drive infertility. And so as I was just talking about that detox of estrogen, and also excessive body fat can drive infertility. So prior to actual pregnancy, this would be a really beneficial thing for thinking along the lines of infertility or to try to gain fertility. This is, as I mentioned, all of those symptoms that I mentioned. So from dermatitis to fatigue to ADHD to brain fog to headaches, I believe a very good approach to consider at least quarterly. And then especially if we have some of those chronic disease states, we may want to even consider doing a cleanse for a 21-day period of time. Now, this particular detox formulation is something that is sound for people with high blood pressure, on diabetic medications, on other medications like statins and what have you. We would not have to make any medication changes with these formulations, but there's some products on the market that do work with pH shifts, and the pH shifting products are not suitable for people on blood pressure medications. However, to clarify again, our particular cleanse is something that you can use successfully and has no drug nutrient interaction. So you wouldn't have to make a change on your current medication load.
Okay, that's good to know. And I also think it's just really good for people who are wondering where to dive into a clean eating jumpstart.
Absolutely.
Or
absolutely.
Food as medicine, because all of a sudden you're going to be feeling a little bit better and you're going to be massaging kale and you're going to be like, this is not the person I knew yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and I think, right, thinking of it in abundance, I think, wasn't it detox? I thought you shared maybe in our first episode together that a real food detox was kind of your jump into clean eating and mm-hmm. you had kind of you had the most dynamic rebound or best feeling in your life.
Energy through the roof. It was absolutely amazing. And then it's that moment that you realize, oh, this is what everyone's talking about. Yeah. I need to get involved and learn more.
And I would say before we close that also within a cleanse, it's important to notice that you should notice a difference within your body. In fact, you should have a little bit of a decline in your health before you feel better. And that should come, it's kind of like a little detox flu per se. And again, you know, it may not sound delightful, but to me, I enjoy experiencing it because I know things are happening.
Yep.
Things are moving
me
and
too.
Shaking. And so what I typically experience is almost like that pre-flu feeling in the legs and in the fascia, so in the tissue of my skin. And it's just that little kind of achiness and a little bit of fatigue. And it's usually around days 2 or 3. And I really associate that with that stagnation of the body starting to be broken down and accelerated and driving the excretion pathways. And so to me, that's a good sign of like, okay, let's rock and roll. And by day 5, 6, I'm feeling pretty awesome. And that rides out at least a couple days post-cleanse.
I agree. I usually get that kind of can't get out of a bed feeling, headache, brain fog. So I usually recommend to people when I'm telling them to do the detox, don't plan a work presentation for those first 3 days. I mean,
right.
Be strategic about it. You don't have to be inactive and bedridden, but don't be high functioning yourself.
Yes. So there's tons of diet support, lifestyle support, and then the particular elements of why I named it Reset, Restore, Renew. And we're going to get into that in the next episode. So hang in there, tune in, and we'll talk to you guys next time. If you want to go ahead and get started and can't wait for the next episode, go on to AllieMillerRD.com and check out under our virtual classes. Also under programs, you can find our detox, which is available as a DVD, or you can watch as a virtual classroom on your computer or a smart tablet. And when you download that or purchase the DVD, you're going to get access to our 30-page ebook, which is going to give you all the recipes, all of the information of how to follow this 10-day cleanse, what to eat, what to avoid, and some of the geeky science of the what's and whys that we went over today.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Naturally Nourished Podcast. Visit our blog at AllieMillerRD.com for recipes, wellness tips, and food as medicine meal plans. Connect with Allie and Carly at AllieMillerRD on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Until next time, stay nourished and be well.